On the agenda today are five issues, issue 113, IRI compaction and the algorithm for doing that, issue 140, considering an objectify link API method, issue 153, defining error handler behavior for the API, issue 160, which is property generator round tripping, the algorithm for doing that, and then the last one on the agenda is what we discussed last time, which was, well, I mean, it started off as specifying language in expanded form, but it kind of devolved or evolved into a much broader discussion about round-tripping and all the things associated with that. Anything else that should be added to the agenda? Anything else we need to discuss? Okay, so the first topic up is issue 113, which is the IRI compaction algorithm. I'm getting feedback from one of you. Let's see, issue 113, IRI compaction algorithm. And here's the link to it. Marcus, would you mind giving a quick overview of this issue?
Yeah, sure. Just let me have a look first. I mean, the problem initially was basically that we never defined how we are going to do IRI compaction. And then I can't remember who updated this spec, either it was Greg or Dave, I can't remember. And currently in the specification there is an algorithm that, well, it's basically you can't understand it without implementing it. Because there are some constants used, so if it's, I don't know, a language tag literal, the return value is 2. If it's something else, it's a 1, otherwise it's a 3. But, I mean, it's nowhere explained how they came up with those numbers, and, well, as I said in the beginning, if you don't implement it, you have difficult times figuring out what the output of that algorithm is. Even if you implement it, it's still kind of difficult to understand what's really going on and why. Is it going to work that way and not another way? Or, and, well, last but not least, of course, it makes it quite difficult to explain to people what compaction is eventually going to do. It's kind of a black box at the moment.
Okay, so I guess your suggestion is to either change the explanation or I guess what's the proposal on the table is to have, I think, the term ranking algorithm as a part of this, and
exactly.
And then the other thing is
we also discussed to make IRI compaction way more, like, less complex. I don't know if you want to go down that path or not, but I think we at least we should consider the IRI compaction algorithm and especially the term ranking algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Kind of a pseudocode in the issue, which I think, well, that's of course biased, but I think it's easier to understand. But yeah, at least Greg disagreed, and Dave said, if I remember correctly, he would need more time to look at it. I don't know if he had a chance to look at it in the meantime.
Yeah, he did. So I'm going to relay some of what Dave Longley's concerns are. I think his concerns are somewhat aligned with your concerns in that it's really difficult to understand how something's going to be compacted right now. In that, you know, whenever we have, it's always in the edge cases. Whenever we have conflicts, then we have to figure out how that conflict is kind of addressed. So we have, we basically go into this term ranking algorithm, right? So the concern that Dave Longley has is that unless you've actually implemented the term ranking algorithm, it's really difficult to understand what's going to pop out of it. I disagree a bit. Hold on. Let me add the – I'm also scribing today since I'm up, so it's difficult to do both. So Dave's concern is that unless you implement the algorithm, it's really difficult to figure out what the output's going to be. So he's suggesting that we greatly simplify how basically what's picked. So if you have two things that expand, you know, could potentially conflict with one another, that the lexicographically least one is always picked, which basically means that if you have something that's supposed to be a list and something that's supposed to be just a regular string, that it doesn't matter. It just picks the lexicographically least one. Now, the problem with that is that you're going to end up with a bunch of kind of bad data. So the alternative to that, which is basically saying, look, the lexicographically least term is going to be picked always, instead of saying that, we'll say the lexicographically least term is always picked unless there's a conflict. And if there's a conflict, a callback is going to be called to let you pick what you think the correct one to pick should be. And the default algorithm, we could make it such that the default algorithm is the one that's defined by the term ranking algorithm right now, and people are free to implement their own algorithms that decide which term should be picked. The downside for that approach is that the downside for that approach is basically you have the same complexity that we have now. You know, there's still the term ranking algorithm that people need to understand to figure out what's going to be picked. So there doesn't seem to be a clear, at least I don't think there seems to be a very clear way forward here. I mean, we can rearrange, we can explain the algorithm differently, but that doesn't remove the fact that the algorithm is complex. So complex, in fact, that I have no idea what comes out of it. I haven't looked at the algorithm in a long time, but I looked at the algorithm a little while ago, and it was very difficult to understand what would actually happen. My assumption is that the algorithm would basically pick the most precise expansion for the term. That's what the term ranking algorithm should do. But that's not always the case. There are even corner cases for that, as far as I understand from Dave Longley's explanation. So I guess the high-level decision that needs to be made are we going to try and simplify the algorithm? And if we are, how are we going to do it? Or are we going to leave the algorithm as is? And if we are going to do that, we have to come up with a really simple way of explaining it, like a one or two sentence description of what the algorithm does, how it picks the you know, most accurate term. Does that so? Are there any opinions on that? Which way we should go on that?
No, just a quick question first. What do you mean by conflict? Two terms which have exactly the same definition?
Two terms that have slightly different definitions. One of them, let's say, has the IRI, and the other one has the IRI and the data type.
Okay. Well, I think Niklas is in the queue.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead, Niklas.
Yeah, I'm just... I haven't had time recently either to grasp the current algorithm. I have the same, I'm inclined to hope at least that we could simplify it to some extent. Are there test cases for these things? Perhaps we could collect these in the issue, or even better, in a wiki to describe the what we would like to see happen, because I'm sure there are many edge cases. The only thing that I'm afraid of is that we'd lose the natural way of, for example, being able to have different terms for a date property depending on whether it's a date or a date time, because those things are very nice to be able to distinguish between different properties. And also, if you have an author name, I mean, if you use Dublin Core Creator with a string versus with a URI reference, those would be very good to keep. But at least in my mind, not having spent too much time on this recently, I hope that we could make some kind of more or less binary check, so that either it's a perfect match or you just fall back to, if there is a term for the property itself, use that, so that we don't have multiple steps of falling back and checking if there is something almost matching. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if that I'm not sure if I'm grasping the problem correctly.
I think, well, the algorithm that we have right now is a multi-step process, and it basically ranks terms based on, it ranks the terms based on every term that could match. So let's say you have five terms that all evaluate to the same IRI, what happens in that case? And the current algorithm is actually pretty thorough. We do have test cases. One, we have test cases for this. And regardless of what people's implementations do, what the algorithm they actually implement is, I believe most of the implementations pass all the test cases. So there isn't really just one way of doing this. There are multiple ways of doing it. But the end result is, you know, pretty much the same. I think that the concern that Marcus is raising in this, and the concern that I think Dave Longley has, is that our selection algorithms, things like the term ranking algorithm and the compaction algorithm, are very complex because they try and deal with all the corner cases. So what we have right now, the solution we have right now, is we deal with all the corner cases. The solution that I think Dave Longley is proposing is, let's not deal with the corner cases. We're trying not to deal with as many corner cases as possible, and basically raise an error whenever there's a conflict like that. All right. So if somebody has, they go and try and compact something, and there are two terms that evaluate to the same thing. When they go to compact, they should specify how that should be compacted. Does that make sense?
I think so. Via some configuration or
it's through an option. So there's an option that you pass to the compact thing. If you don't pass the option, there is a default behavior, which could be the current compaction algorithm that we have right now, or you can pass in your own function. The problem with having a default function that does what we do right now is that we don't really eliminate the complexity in understanding what happens during compaction for multiple terms. Another way to look at it is that people don't need to try and understand what that algorithm does until they have this corner case, this edge case, which the vast majority of people won't. But you know, we are talking about the API spec, so the reason we're talking about the API spec is we're worried that implementers are going to have a hard time understanding, you know, what this algorithm is supposed to do. As Marcus said, it's unless you implement it, it's hard to understand what's going on. So I think all of us would naturally lean towards trying to simplify it so that it's easier to understand. The problem in this case is that when we do that, becomes the corner cases still need to be dealt with in some way. And we either pass that off to the web developers that are using JSON-LD, which means that all of a sudden they need to understand how to do term ranking of some kind, or they're going to end up implementing their own kind of weird, crazy ways of doing it, and 90% of them are going to be wrong because they don't understand, you know, the nuances of how JSON-LD works. Go ahead.
Do you have some references to the most tricky corner cases? Do you know?
Well, like list, you know, I mean, if there's an issue with a list versus, you know, compacting to a list versus compacting to just a regular term. I mean, it's basically you can pick any permutation and it becomes kind of tricky. Or let's say there are three terms. All the tricky corner cases. There are three cases where things would boil down to the same that have the same IRI would boil down to three different terms. So if your term is a simple IRI and then an IRI with a data type and then an IRI with a list, or you know, pick any permutation, any one of those permutations where the three items are a regular IRI and then two different, you know, something with the data type, something with the list, something with the language map, any one of those things. So in those cases, which one gets picked first? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, if there is no, not really. I mean, if the object has a data type, then it should pick that term. And that can't really be confused with if the object is a list.
Let's see. Would say that again?
I mean, if I have a property and the property age, for instance, and the value is an integer, that would be straightforward to pick, even if we had that property and we had three terms using that property. If one was coerced to an integer, that would be picked. And if a term was coerced to a list, it wouldn't match at all.
Right, but I guess the issue that's of concern is the algorithm for doing that selection is non-trivial. Like you saying it in English right there is perfectly understandable when you say it in English like that. The issue is that the algorithm needs to take every corner case into account, and because it does that, it's complicated. So I think another way that we could approach this, if we keep the complex mechanism, is by saying we basically say, you know, the most accurate term is picked, and we leave it at that. But that still leaves the concern that Marcus has, which is the algorithm's really, really difficult to understand for implementers.
But I wonder if as I don't know exactly the current algorithm, I might be way off here, but if the algorithm just checked for match, you should say that for the property age, you have three terms. One is just a term mapped to the IRI FOF age, and that's called age. And then you have age integer, which is the property and the data type integer. Does the algorithm try to do some kind of partial match as well, so that if it finds, say, a float value, does it try to use the integer or something like that, or does it just fall through to the one that matches?
I think in general, it attempts to fall through to the one that matches exactly. And if it can't find an exact match, then it tries to find one that's a little looser. So let's say that, if it can't find an exact match, and there's no term that's just the IRI, I believe it just keeps the expanded form expanded.
Yeah. I mean, I see that if in an implementation I do something, I haven't actually done this part though, so, but I'm about to. I fix some things this weekend to prepare for it. I would map the property IRI to an object which itself had a type dictionary, a container dictionary, or a default just property IRI mapping. I can see that there is a certain complexity involved if you look for something which is both coerced to a data type and it has to find if it has a specific container, i.e. there are multiple values, but I still don't see why you have to rank them.
I don't, well, Marcus, maybe you can explain that. You wrote the term ranking algorithm, is that right? That's in the spec
right
now?
No, I wrote a proposal on the issue, but the other one is from, I think, Dave, if I remember correctly.
No,
Greg
that wrote it. Yeah, I think Greg wrote it. Dave doesn't like the algorithm, so I don't. Either he wrote it and then turned on it, or I think
Greg wrote it based on Dave's. Well, at least the implementation he had at that time. Well, but it doesn't matter anyway. So what happens currently is, I didn't implement it as it is in the spec. I tried to, but I couldn't figure out what's going on that algorithm, so I wasn't able to implement it, so I implemented my own version. But the idea is basically that you have a number of terms or compact IRIs, so prefix suffixes, or even the full IRI, and you assign a number to them, to a number to a to an IRI value pair, which should express how well it matches. So for example, if you have one term which just has the IRI specified, you give them, for example, the number 1, and if you have another one which also matches the data type, for example, that one gets a value of 2, and so that one wins. And then there come the containers into play. So for list, you would never use a list, a term which has a list container for a value which is not a list, because then the data would become invalid if you expand it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there are a number of, well, those corner cases. And basically my problem with the specification at the moment is that if you read the algorithm, then there is, for example, if rank is greater than 0, if term has a container set to add set, then add 1 or return 2. And you don't know how they came up with those numbers or how Greg came up with those numbers.
Mm.
So if you just look at the term ranking algorithm, I'll just paste the link. There is, for example, the first thing is if value is null, term rank is 3. And then it goes on. If list is a property of an empty array, then the term rank is 1, otherwise it's 0, and so on. And
right.
Basically, my proposal was to have one function which just returns true or false, which is type and language match or they don't match. And then you have another So I call the type language match.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a term rank calculation, which just takes a value and an IRI and then calculates the rank by checking the container and then checking if the type or the language matches. If it matches, the rank is increased, otherwise it's decreased. And if you have a list, you do that for every value in the list. So you would choose the term which matches most items in the list.
Okay, so
but
it's...
Of course, we could simplify that to just check the first term, the first value of a list, for example.
Okay, so your proposal is to have a function that returns true or false for a match.
Here's the link. So the third part is that type language match check, which basically just checks the data type or the language if they check, if they match. And that function just returns either true or false.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, the one in the middle in that comment, that's the one who sums up those matches or, well, decreases the rank if there is no match.
Right.
I believe that it looks possible to keep a fair amount of the smartness of the picking in essence while still simplifying it, either exactly by doing this or even say that first check for term, if there is a term, discard the rest and pick among the terms. If there is a term that matches the container, prefer that. And then if there are multiple terms that do that, check the data type or the language. And just have some kind of more binary path to the selection. Perhaps that would be enough.
Yeah, or something that basically... like a MapReduce. I'm not saying we implement a MapReduce, but it basically, I'm wondering if it effectively ends up being a MapReduce. Like you have multiple rounds of elimination that these things go through, and there's only one remaining at the end.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, that's
yeah,
more or less the same that happens today. You rank them, then you pick the first.
Right. I'm just wondering. See, I know this is getting nitpicky about the algorithm, but all of this, you know, increase the rank by one, decrease the rank by three, increase the rank by, you know, all this, like, plussing and minusing makes it seem kind of strange when all we're really doing in this algorithm is, I mean, we're doing a MapReduce. We're saying... reduce this, you know, do a map reduce where the reduction is to one always. So you'll always get the IRI that should be picked back. So you know, whenever we say, you know, its rank is rank for this, you know, term is rank minus two, it should just be removed from the list that could be selected. So perhaps what needs to happen is the algorithm takes a bunch of, you know, terms and IRIs. Terms and the kind of their context definition, and the data that you're trying to match, and it will do certain tests and remove items from that list, such that the return value of the algorithm is the term that should be picked. Does that make sense?
I don't really understand the difference. I mean, currently you have a list of ranked terms, and if you get a term which has a higher rank, you can clear the list and just put that new term into the list. Isn't that the same?
That new term. I guess I'm talking about a minor difference. So what I'm saying is that instead of doing this plus one, minus one stuff, that we should just say the item should be removed from the list. So if you look at in your center algorithm, it says if term has a list container, rank equals rank minus 3, which is this will never be chosen, and then return rank. Instead of saying that, we should probably just say just remove the term from the list, right?
Yeah, okay,
and then
that's more or less
the only
same. It's just because that was, in my implementation, that's a different function, so it always has to return a value, but yeah.
Okay, well, I guess what I'm trying to do is your concern is the algorithm is very difficult to understand for people. And I also heard you say, you know, Greg's current algorithm specifies these numbers in there. You know, it specifies these numbers, and you have no idea how the numbers, you know, came about or how they, you know, what happens. So what I'm proposing is let's get rid of the numbers completely, and the only thing that happens is, you know, you pass a list of IRIs in, and this function will systematically remove the IRIs that should not be matched, such that the end result is going to always be, you know, the IRI that should be picked. And it could be that internally we use some kind of ranking mechanism, but the ranking mechanism could just be add one to the rank, remove one from the rank, right? Instead of add two to the rank or subtract two to the rank and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very minor tweak on your algorithm, Marcus. But if what we're doing now is we're trying to reduce the complexity and understanding it, I think that achieves
a good point. Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's a good point.
Okay. Nicholas, you're on the queue, sorry.
No problem. Let me try this out with an example. Let me see if we're thinking along the same path here. Say that we have a property in the data. Something has the, let me see, put this data in here. We have data along these lines of that. We find a term that looks like that. And currently, we're going to a list here of terms, and currently that applies, so we pick that. And then this thing crops up. If we have said that terms are preferred over compact URIs, this latter is ignored, and we still will use the first one. So we don't rate anything, we just have that one. And then we came across this one, and we see that, sure, it's a term, and it also has a type which applies. And the container, well, that's nice. We don't have anything to compare that to, so let's just use that. We would always only have one term, preferred term. We would never have to rank these with numbers. We could just drop the current one and pick the one we come across next. So it's a rather simple state.
Right. I'm concerned that it doesn't do the right, quote unquote, the right thing in certain corner cases. Like, for example, I'm wondering how we do the go to the next one, because hash maps are, you know, maps are unordered, so you don't have a certain order to go through these unless you do some kind of lexicographical sorting. What actually ends up being handed to the algorithm is the full IRI. You know, the only ones that are picked, from what I see, are DC created and created. Those are the two that would be handed to the algorithm.
Well, actually,
and then,
DC created would be chosen because it's more specific.
Right. Based on the current algorithm, yes. Yeah. But I think Nicholas is saying something different, which is could we, instead of ranking things, use an algorithm that doesn't do any kind of ranking, and it will go through a list of items, and it will decide whether or not something should be picked, and if it chooses not to pick it, it will go on to the next one in the list. So there's no... Well, I guess what I'm... Yeah, so Nicholas, that's what you're saying, right? You basically have a list of choices, and you check the current one, and if it doesn't meet your criteria, you throw it away and you move to the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, so the issue, I think, with is that you have to sort the list in some way. In some kind of regular way.
I'm just thinking that if we... Yeah, but if we could have some rule that said that it doesn't have to compute some kind of value for it. It can just say that it's a term that's preferred regardless of the specificity of the coercion. It picks terms over QRIs. So then we would end up with a list of terms. And regardless, I'm not sure. I would need some more test cases to see, but to just keep as little as possible under consideration.
Right. So you're saying eliminate choices that we wouldn't want to make. So, for example, preserving using a term over a query. I guess the issue with that is that in this example that you gave, the wrong or surprising thing would be picked. Well, I mean, you can argue that both ways. One of them is based on the current algorithm, something surprising would be picked. But based on this simplified worldview, well, we prefer terms over queries.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure that it's the could be beneficial. It would also...
Your audio dropped out, Nicholas. Could you say that again?
Something to simplify comparisons and choices. It would also make it easier to, you know, understand how you should author a useful JSON-LD context. So that if you mix QRIs and terms, you know that the QRI definitions would always be less applicable.
Yeah, and I think that might annoy some people that have been very specific, like they want the query to be picked, but maybe that's an argument that they should stop mixing the two, or they should use a context that's, you know, uses a different term if they want the you know, daytime picked versus the
Exactly. If they don't want the terms, remove the terms from the context.
I mean, we could Sorry, go ahead, Nicholas.
No, I just mean that we could. It should be easier to understand how to. I mean, if you want to combine several contexts, and that's a complex scenario with lots of potential edge cases. We could just decide not to support something which is not specifically controlled.
Can I say that again, Nicholas?
If you don't want the terms to be picked, you should somehow be able to manage your own context in such a scenario anyway, hopefully. Because if we try to support that use case, I'm not really sure if we're supporting the best usage of context anyway, because that's a rather complex combination of terms and queries.
Yeah. Another way to approach this, you know, if we're trying to figure out a way to get rid of sorting or ranking, is to do the algorithm in something like, we could say the algorithm's performed in three bouts, where a bout is, you know, basically a competition between all the IRIs in the list on which one gets to make it to the next bout. And each bout is designed to reduce the number of choices that can be made. So the first bout could check the data type of the incoming value, and if it has a data type, it could remove anything that doesn't match that data type. Or actually, the first bout could be check to see if it's a set or list, and if it is not, remove the sets and the lists. Then the next bout is check to see what the data type is, and if the data type, you know, it matches, then remove anything that doesn't have a data type, and then the final value should be maybe the very last thing that you do is select the term lexicographically.
Yeah.
That way, we don't really have it is a way of ranking, but we kind of specify the purpose of each ranking step. So it's a kind of a filtering. It's kind of a MapReduce thing. It's you go through three stages of filters, and by the time you get to the very last stage, you're guaranteed to get one winner out of the algorithm.
Yeah.
It seems like that might be easier to explain than having numbers or ranking. Marcus, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm currently thinking about whether we could internally sort the terms in a specific way so that we just, loop over them until we find the first match. So, for example, we first order them by container. So if it's not a list, we go to the next one. If then it has to be a set or no container at all, then we go to the data type or language, which, we can't have both at the same time anyway. And group them by IRI, and then in the last step we would have to check. If we didn't find the perfect match, we would have to check the, we would have to create prefixes or conflict IRIs, actually.
I was thinking, I think that Manu's proposal sort of leads to that kind of reasonable optimization when you create the internal data for a context.
Yeah, so maybe it would be enough to just specify how that internal, context or inverse context actually would have to be sorted.
Yeah, I think that's, we should investigate that, because it sounds like we cover most of the needs I've seen so far, at least, and it feels more natural. It's more direct.
Okay. Then I think this sounds like we have consensus on rewriting the algorithm, attempting to do this in a more iterative fashion where we have, figure out how to sort. Let me go back. So what we're considering here is the function, the purpose of this function that we're talking about is to take in a list of IRIs, of terms that could match, to take in the value that they're supposed to be matched to. And then the algorithm goes through and slowly removes removes selections that don't match for one reason or another. And we can do that in two ways. The first way is we figure out how to kind of sort that the terms that are being selected. And the second way is to do it through multiple bouts where in every iteration you're guaranteed to cut out certain choices, and by the end you're guaranteed that only one of these IRIs is going to come out of the algorithm. Does that summarize kind of where we have consensus now?
Yeah,
I think so.
The only problem is still, what do we do with lists? Do we check? I mean, we have to check either just the first item, or we don't check any item, or we check them all.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good... I don't know. The approach could be we are very thorough and check every single item. I think that's the most correct thing to do. It's also the most computationally expensive thing to do. And for really large lists, it could be nasty. The other approach is to only check the first item, which is faster computationally, but inaccurate when it comes down to it. You might end up compacting something that shouldn't be compacted.
Yeah. I think we could warn about that. I mean, if you use lists and coerce them as well,
yeah,
and you have long lists, you will have a performance issue. Potentially, I mean, not for real, you should have really large lists for that to actually matter.
Yeah, but if we check every value, we can't just, well, there is no binary match or dismatch anymore. Then you have a number of matches or a number of dismatches. So we have again a rank then.
Wouldn't it just, I mean, when you hit a term which is coerced as a list, you see if that term uses a data type, and if it uses that and the values not all values match, that term doesn't apply anymore. If it matches, we've already gone through the second step for that, and that should be enough to pick it. Unless you hit, of course, if that was a QRI and then you hit something which is a term which has the exact same definition. If it doesn't, you already know that you have the previous one matching with more precision, so you don't have to check it a second time.
Sorry, I couldn't follow, really.
I just think that we should check all values, and I think that if we try to rephrase the algorithm in the way we discussed here, it shouldn't be more complex if we have to loop through everything, should it?
You mean algorithmically complex or more difficult to understand complex?
At least not more difficult to understand.
So it should be less cognitively complex and could potentially be more algorithmically complex?
Yeah, well you have to take looping over values into account, but I suppose we always have to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
For the example there, Marcus, I think I'd say that neither term should apply, because there is a list and both terms try to coerce that, and neither can query the list because it's a mixed type list.
Right.
So if it's a mixed type list, you would never choose a term which has a type coercion.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Because, I mean, what you're trying to do, compaction is not, this is something else Dave Longley was pointing out, that he feels that people are conflating. Compaction doesn't mean create the smallest form. It doesn't mean, like, create the most compact document. What it means is it's supposed to generate something that it's easy for programmers to work with. So it's supposed to kind of generate a normal form that happens to be compact. Just like expansion creates the most expanded form, it removes the context, it gives you a very regular structure to iterate over. Compaction's attempting to do that. And so if it can't do that, if it can't give you a regular structure, it shouldn't try and give you something that's kind of a halfway solution, right? And what we're talking about right now is kind of a halfway solution. Like it'll pick a compact term, but the problem with that is that it doesn't necessarily match what the context is asking it to compact to, because the context is expecting the items to be of, you know, one type. Or I think that's the assumption that we were making when we wrote that the first time.
So in this specific case, that list should stay under the full IRI.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, either I think this is one of those decisions where you could go either way, and it's all based on the decision's based on the philosophy that we want to kind of encapsulate in JSON LD, want to express in JSON LD.
Yeah.
And the philosophy is, you know, you should get what you said that you wanted in the context, and if you can't do that, then give up. Don't try and create some kind of halfway solution for people.
Yeah, in the case of coercion, it should certainly be that, because it's like any kind of matching in CSS or XSLT. There is no. There is a specificity, but there is no soft specificity. I mean, it either matches or it fails to match.
Right.
If there are multiple matches, you have to travel through the list of candidates, which will be continuously reduced. And as you suggested, it can also reasonably be ordered on the specificity it is defining, but it should always be crystal clear when it applies, so you can just throw away each one that doesn't apply, and then you end up with a straight path to the most specific term left.
Yeah. Having said that, I'm concerned about corner cases, but I mean, it could be, I think you can make the argument that the reason some of these algorithms have become so complex is because we've cared about the corner cases a lot. And that could be the exact wrong thing to do with JSON-LD, such that, you know, if we tend to not care about corner cases, or if we tend to just basically say, look, JSON-LD is not a corner case language, you either work within the framework or it's going to bite you. Right. That two things can happen with that approach. One of them is you have an interoperability nightmare at the end, because people, you know, for whatever reason, have a lot of, you know, there are a lot of corner cases that people need to deal with, and it's really annoying, and they end up solving the problem in different ways. Or people start structuring their data and their context in the way that leads to the best result from the compaction algorithm. So we basically all the corner cases are eliminated from the system because the API doesn't work well with the corner cases.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how that. Go ahead.
No, I think you're right, and I think that, I mean, the case for compaction, we cannot in any reasonable way, for cognitive reasons, if nothing else, define compaction so that it handles irregular data. Those sort of are in conflict by the nature of such data. Irregular data, where you have mixed types with the same terms, isn't compactable, well, unless you have very specific terms for each of the different types used. Then it's compactable, but the context, it's obvious from looking at the context that this context is written for very irregular data.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we have enough. I what I can do is I can take an action to take a shot at the algorithm. Unless Marcus, you want to try to do that as well. So we could go that there's two ways. One of them is, I think we've agreed that we don't like the algorithm in the spec right now, so we're going to have to rewrite it. We could either, you know, Marcus, if you could write up your version of it and I could write up what I proposed, and then we could basically reconvene and decide which one of those we want to use, or if we want to use a mixture of that. Or I could end up writing what I'm proposing, and then you can come in and see if you can inject some of what you're thinking into there. It seems like the better way to go about this is for both of us to write the algorithm, and then for us to just kind of look at it and see which one's more understandable from the group, get consensus on that. Which approach would you rather, Marcus?
I would be fine with both. I mean, we could also just do it kind of in pseudocode or something on the issue tracker first and then write it like in clear prose later.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, so we'll both take an action to go to the issue tracker, write up the proposals, and then write it up in the spec later on once we have consensus on what it should be. Great, Nicholas. Yeah, that would help.
Do we want to put some of the conclusions we came up now into the issue tracker, like the list thing, or I don't know?
We could, I mean, they'll be in the minutes. We could copy them from the minutes. Once I publish the minutes,
okay.
We could copy them from the
yeah.
minutes to the issue tracker. Yeah, I mean, we should. That issue is difficult to get your mind wrapped around where we are currently, so a summary of where we are would be very helpful in that issue.
Yeah.
And include spec. Okay. Let's move on to the next agenda item. I think we've got as far as we can on this one. Anything else on this issue before we move on?
No.
Okay. No. Next up is issue 140. This is considering an objectify and link API method. So of course the general the gist of this is that we think framing is too complicated, or rather it doesn't necessarily give us back what we want, or it's going to take quite a bit of refinement to figure out what the easiest thing to understand for developers would be, and we need something simpler. Greg, and I think you as well, Nicholas, have said that having something like an objectify or link method of Graphify would be very helpful, so this issue is specifically about considering adding that to the API. I think it would be a good thing as well, and the only thing I'm concerned about is that we don't have an algorithm specified on how it works. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. No, I think that that's true. I think that I'm not, although I really like this approach. I don't necessarily think that we need to do add this to the API for 1.0. I think that it could be a separate document, just like framing is today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I've been meaning for, a couple of weeks now to write at least something in the wiki about this. Perhaps I should even try to collaborate with Greg and write a document as a complementary document, sort of a sibling to the framing document, which
yep.
actually takes a stab at this.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it seems like we're moving into a more, like, if you're a Python programmer, they have the PEPs that basically extend the language, and each feature gets its own PEP document
yeah.
that explains how it works, and I think that that's exactly the way we should approach the JSON-LD API. I also agree with you, Nicholas, that I don't think we can do this for 1.0, because we just don't have the time, I don't feel.
No. Actually, I think that when I tinkered with the RDFA lab, I took the JavaScript implementation, your company's implementation of the JSON-LD, and I took out the framing parts because I needed a smaller code size. And I think that I don't know if we need to do anything in the spec, but perhaps, just as you said, it should be possible to add things later on in a simple way. Well, that sort of falls naturally, I think. I don't think we have to add anything in the API document for that.
Right.
I mean, looking at how the JavaScript APIs for HTML and web browsers are sort of extending objects and so on, it seems fairly rational for us to be able to go down the same route so we can add something to the JSON-LD object later on.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good.
I think...
Sorry, go ahead, Nicholas.
No, just a reflection on the this issue, or topic rather, that we should write some document about it. Perhaps we could, I don't know if we should do a vote or something, but we have had a bunch of different names for this. I recently, well, not recently, I've been using Connect, which came up early on as well. I think we all agree that Objectify wasn't working and that Graphify might be a little bit too just odd. But I don't know.
I kind of like Graphify more than Lincoln Connect, but that's, I mean, I think we're bike shedding at this point. I mean, what it's called is important, but I think we can make that decision right before the spec goes to last call, and I think that spec is going to go to last call, maybe a year from now, if not more.
Yeah, I think I'll see if Greg wants to co-author some first draft, because it
yep.
would be nice to have this in there. Also, as I think we briefly mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I've seen the potential for extending this ID somewhat so that it actually becomes some kind of indexing of the JSON-LD.
Yep.
At least
yeah.
for both IDs and types, perhaps even. And in my implementation, I index IDs, types, and I also throw in reverse relations so that I can navigate the resulting graph
yeah.
in both directions of an arc, mm-hmm. which is the result of that makes this very nice as a lightweight RDF API.
Yeah, we store our JSON LD in Mongo right now, and there could be a mechanism that allows you to generate real-time views of JSON LD data through this kind of view or indexing mechanism. So you could always, you could have a query, like a pre-generated query that will track a certain type of query that you did before. So it's kind of a live view on the database. So every time you access the object, or the object's updated every time it understands that one of these other objects in the database have been written to, that would be kind of cool, because you could have this data structure around that's basically all of the objects that you're currently working with. Let's say it's a set of libraries or a set of books or a set of assets that you're working with on the web, and it would be kind of a live object that reflected the data in the database. So in the web browser, you could just do the view index thing once, but you could extend that call such that the implementation could actually link it to a live database if you're in something like, let's say, Node.js using Mongo, or you could even do it in the web browser by doing this view call and having the view updated dynamically over a WebSocket that's connected to the backend database. But that's kind of crazy future talk. I think that there is Lincoln Graphify and this new view/indexing mechanism are two potential extensions to the spec that could be pretty interesting. But certainly need a lot more time to kind of, work into some kind of, formal proposal.
Exactly.
That's just kind of a whole bunch of ideas floating out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
In my mind, this goes all the way back to my original sort of OR mapper I did in Python for RDFlib, where I used there are a bunch of those around in many languages. Like, there is RDF Alchemy as well, and there is something RDF Mappy for Rails I've come across, and there is a bunch of those in Java as well. For instance, there is an OR mapper in Sesame called all of those things shared one thing in common. They use the class mechanism to define short names bound to IRIs and coercions most of the time, which is exactly what the JSON LD context represents in a language agnostic way.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems natural, especially for dynamic languages, to be able to actually use a context as a lens to access a live RDF graph, as if it were a JSON graphified JSON in memory object.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it really interesting, hopefully, for the RDF group at large and the RDF working group to sort of see this through.
Right.
For one, it makes it a lot easier to just throw RDF into an arbitrary templating system.
Right. Okay, so I think Marcus, any thoughts on this? I think where we're at right now is, yes, we think Objectify, Link, Graphify, Index, View, all of these things are important, but we don't believe we can get them done for 1.0, so we should split them off into separate specs. Marcus, thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not sure what I should think. I mean, I'm a bit concerned that if we remove framing and Objectify and everything else, and you get the document, there is, except flattening, there is no way to, use the document if you don't know in which structure it comes, because expansion doesn't help you, compaction doesn't really help you either, because you don't even know what's at the top level of the document.
I don't quite agree with that, because I agree with you that it doesn't help you if the data that you're getting into your system is coming from a whole bunch of different systems that publish their data in a completely different way. Totally agree with you there. Where I don't agree with you is that if you're just dealing with one system that is very consistent about the way they publish their data, for example, our Paceworm stuff is incredibly consistent about how it publishes the data, because we know that people are going to be using it as JSON and not, you know, any kind of linked data or RDF or any of that stuff. So when we feed data to people, they just use it. They don't have to apply their own context or anything like that. So I wouldn't say that it's that the data is not useful, or that they can't, you know, they can round trip with that in one system. It's just doing general purpose data processing in JSON LD is impacted by not having framing and not having Objectify, Graphify, Link.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point. Then it's just JSON, it's not JSON LD. I mean you can't access the data in a more random way. You have to know the structure beforehand, and then you don't really need IRIs, then you just rely on the structure of the document. You don't even have to know what the context is about, for example.
But there's a difference there, right? It is still linked data. You know that when you use a specific term and you use a specific context, that you're both sides, both the server and the client, are talking about something very specific. And you could have a federated system in that way as well. I mean, I agree with you that it's not, you know, general purpose linked data processing, but that's not to say that we're not also working on that stuff. Like the JSON LD JS implementation that my company does, it has the framing stuff in there. So if people need to use it, they can use it. It's just they need to know that it's experimental.
I'm wondering if we should not at least do some minimal framing, include some minimal framing or some minimal Objectify or something into the spec, so that there is something you can fall back, even if it works just for specific cases or has just very limited functionality for 1.0.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
There is something to that. I think that we should perhaps look into a minimal Graphify to illustrate that, but I'm not sure if we should have it in the API, or is the API the only... Could we add something else to the same round of specifications, or does it have to be included in the API document? What I'm getting at is, could we have a separate Graphify 1.0, which in 1.1 could evolve into something a bit more full-fledged when it comes to indexing?
I think it's very difficult to design an API such that you have kind of an idea of what the future of that API would look like, and you put in hooks to do it. There are some cases where the decision is fairly simple, but I don't think that we even have our ideas close enough to wrap around what Graphify actually does to design that into the API at this point. I have no idea what the Graphify stuff is going to end up really looking like.
The most basic idea is just to replace every reference, every JSON LD reference object with an actual in-memory reference to the same full object. That's the core, and then there are, during that traversal, since it is an indexing, you might be able to add more indexes than that. perhaps we could even have a callback for that so that you could build your own indexes. So I think that, I mean, Greg has even written his version somewhere in line in the issue, although it's based on Backbone.js, but it's close.
Right. So I think that the only thing that's going to at least make me feel more comfortable about doing this is just having an implementation and having a spec. I mean, the closer we get to that, the easier the decision is. The further we are away from that, the more difficult the decision is. So if, you know, Marcus, you or Nicholas or Greg or, you know, anyone else wants to spend the time to write that spec so that we have a better understanding about what that should do, I think that would help us make the decision to put something, some kind of light form of it in the API spec, in the JSON-LD 1.0 API spec. I think if we don't have a very clear handle on what we're doing with this, that it's going to be very difficult to get that into the API spec, at least to get consensus that we understand what we're doing when we're putting it in the API spec.
Yeah. I'll see if I... At least we'll talk with Greg about if we can do this, throw something out there.
Okay.
But should we start off with a separate document, and then if you feel comfortable, we merge it rather than the other way around?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that's the way we should approach it.
Right.
Okay, all right, so we are out of time for today, but we did, it was very important to get these two, get a bit further on these two, so that's good. I think we achieved that, or at least we have a better idea of where we're going with this stuff. Anything else before we get off the phone? Anything else before we need to know before the call next week?
No, maybe just a generic question.
Sure.
Do you have any idea what the next, I mean, is there a time frame or something in W3C, or are there some, I don't know, their schedule or?
Yeah. Technically, that you're supposed to, a working group is supposed to publish a document at least every 3 months after you do the FPWD to show forward progress, but you only need to do that with one spec. So the RDF working group has achieved that via the publication of both of our specs. So they'll publish a new version of these specs whenever we ask them to. I mean, it might take, you know, 2 or 3 weeks to get around to the publication, maybe even a month, but it's whenever we feel that the document should be published again as a working draft is when we'll, you know, ask them to do it, and we'll go through the whole, you know, vote and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There is no. We have to get this stuff direct before the RDF working group closes out. And I don't know when that is. Let me look to see when the operational. I think we were hoping to get something into last call before the end of the year. Going participation, teleconferences, charter, record notes. This is very old. The end date is the January 2013. So we have to get to last call much sooner than that.
And yeah, do we have to go to last call at the same time with the spec and with the API and the syntax?
No, they can be kept separate. I think they just need to. Neither one of them can become. I forget if we have them linked together again. I don't think we have them linked together again.
I think not normatively.
Okay, good. Then no. The answer is they don't have to go to rec, or they don't have to proceed at the same speed. But I am concerned about this. I mean, typically what happens in the W3C is if you need to publish like JSON-LD and if you need an extension, they'll usually give it to you, especially if you show that you're like very, very close, you're in last call and you need to go to a rec. But basically, if we wanted to meet the RDF Working Group charter deadlines, we would need to go into last call at the end of October, which I think is going to be very difficult to do. Nicholas, you're on.
Yeah. Marcus, okay. Just a quick question. Since I'm not a member of the working group, am I allowed to add the Graphify spec in this place?
You are allowed to add the Graphify spec as a community group document.
All right.
You're not allowed to modify the specs that are in the RDF working group.
Right, good.
So yeah, there shouldn't be anything blocking you.
So I can work in the folder. Is that the folder? I should add another folder if I add a Graphify document?
That is, the working graph folder is where we publish time-frozen versions.
All right,
so
it's the latest.
You should be working in latest and then create another one for JSON-LD-Graphify.
Yeah.
Or whatever we're going to call it. And then that'll be the new document.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
It's only the time issue for me, as usual.
Right, yeah.
You all know that one.
Yeah, unfortunately. Too few good people working on this stuff. It's always always the problem with the web, is everyone uses it, but the people that actually make sure that it's operational are very few and far between. Okay, anything else before we go for the day? All right.
No.
Thanks a bunch, guys, for the great discussion, and we'll chat again next week.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
See you.
Thank you. Bye.